Welcome to the Off the Charts Football Podcast. Coming at you from the Senior Bowl, I'm Matt Manajerian, former NFL scout and now vice president of football and research at Sports Info Solutions. I'm joined by Aaron Schatz, the godfather of football analytics and the founder of Football Outsiders. Much less exciting, he's just up in Boston.
Yeah, I'm just at home.
And Justin Stein, as always, back at the home base in Copley, Pennsylvania of Sports Info Solutions with us on the controls. So we got to start off with the big news this week. We owe Corey some dinner.
I guess neither of the upsets happened, but I'm not even sure which one qualifies as being closer. I guess the Tennessee upset
was
closer than the Green Bay upset, but they still, you know, it was not like to the last second of the game. Kansas City pretty much took charge of that sucker in the second half.
Yeah, Corey texted me in the second quarter of the Green Bay game saying I'll be collecting on that bet. So it was pretty done pretty early there. Let's get into it, though. That's the main reason why we are on this week. So we wanted to talk about these two games that happened last week, whereas next week we'll turn more to a look ahead to the Super Bowl coming up. So circling back, let's start off with that first game, that Tennessee at Kansas City game, and try to kind of untangle what happened in this game.
Well, I mean, it's going to be an interesting comment given what we're going to say about the San Francisco game. But I think one of the things that this game showed is that you can't count on overproducing running games to continue to overproduce time and again and again, on and on and on. That in general, while sometimes running is as efficient as passing, and sometimes it's even more efficient than passing, it's very hard to count on that in the long run. You can count on passing a lot better than you can count on rushing. As the Chiefs said, you know, they didn't even really load the box, and still their run defense, which is the weakness of the team, did a fairly good job containing Derrick Henry in this game.
Yeah, I mean, on any given Sunday, certainly anything can happen, but I think what you're saying, and we should be extra clear here, you're not just saying that you think that's a thing. That's what the statistics tell us, that your passing efficiency will be more predictive of the future overall. So if you can rely on a Patrick Mahomes instead of a Derrick Henry, it's a better idea.
Right, especially because makes to sense. Have your rushing efficiency be as efficient or more efficient than your passing efficiency is rare enough that you can't count on in the long run. It's not as much that rushing is less predictable than passing on offense, although I believe that it is, if I remember correctly the numbers. But it's also that for rushing to be more efficient than passing is an extreme, and extremes are always less consistent than being closer to the average.
Right. So everything adds up there, and not to say that a team powered by a running couldn't beat a team that's powered more by passing. I haven't seen in the opening line for the Super Bowl, for example. But I would imagine it'd be a pretty close one.
It's Kansas City by one.
By one. There you go. So a slight nudge to the passing team over the running team there, maybe by Vegas. But in this game, I think you touched on one thing that I really wanted to get into was Nate Weller wrote about it last week at the end of the week, that it was the Kansas City strategy to not stack the box against the run against the tight ends that I think really helped them out. He had pointed out that a lot of teams that were stacking the box to stop Derrick Henry, number one, it wasn't working. Stacking the box, it seems that Derrick Henry is almost immune to that. And then two, that's what was opening things up for the passing game. So by Spagnuolo kind of sitting back there a little bit more and making sure that they were going to kind of keep things in front of them and not allow themselves to lose to Tannehill, I think that strategy ended up working out really well for them.
Yeah, and it was more similar, I think, to what the Patriots did in their playoff game, which kept the Titans to only 14 points, right? It's not the Patriots' defense's fault that the Patriots' offense only scored 13 points in that game.
Right. That was completely they really stopped them defensively, but that, of course, wasn't the narrative just because of the result of the game.
I think the other thing you saw here was the danger of Mahomes running the ball, especially if you play man coverage against him. You know, he was fantastic scrambling, and that's less of a danger with the 49ers playing mostly zone coverage, but I think is still a possible issue.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, especially because, even though the Niners are in a zone coverage, it's not exactly your typical, you know, they're not dropping back into their deep zones. And
it's not a cover two where everyone's got their eyes on the quarterback the whole time. You know? know.
Yeah, they're going to be playing a lot more match stuff kind of in different ways that you see cover three out there. But it is interesting. I'm super excited for that matchup. It's almost hard not to talk about that one right now. But in this game, going back just Tennessee and Kansas City, was there anything else that stood out to you that surprised you or maybe confirmed your priors?
Well, I just want to point out that Kansas City is peaking right now. I mean, you know, just the last 2 weeks is not a big sample size. But let's be honest, Kansas City has had its two best offensive games of the year by DVOA in the last 2 weeks.
That's really interesting. And one thing worth pointing out, we talked a bunch. Aaron Rodgers led the league this year in total points from quarterbacks. But it was actually Mahomes on a per game level that led the league in total points. And it was the Chiefs passing offense that led the league in total points overall in the course of the year, when you include those Matt Moore games in there.
One of the reasons why Kansas City is higher in our weighted DVOA than in our regular DVOA is because when you do the weighted DVOA, it lowers the weight of the Matt Moore game.
Right, and that makes sense, and it stands to reason. Meanwhile, defensively, just flipping it on its head, how about Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger? He has really become one of the top players, I think, in the league, absolute blue chipper at that position where you have to account for him on every snap. I haven't seen somebody make that kind of an impact as a safety. I'm a big Earl Thomas fan for what he can do covering on the back end, but this is more like an Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu thing where he just seems to have an incredible instinct for the ball. Call it intelligence, call it instincts, whatever you want. But what he does to kind of shore up things, and I know from experience down in New Orleans, that Spags defense is a complicated thing from a communication standpoint. You could have one call and that could be 20 different coverages. What he does back there is really impressive, just outsmarting quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he's used in the Super Bowl, given that San Francisco, I mean, they're a running team, yes, but it's a very different kind of running team than Tennessee. And it's much more, I mean, for one thing, they're much more dependent on their tight end. And, you know, the way that they use certain receivers, it's different than what Tennessee does.
Right. Much more like we've seen with, you know, it feels like the NFC playoffs were a matchup of all these different teams that were either Shanahan or some sort of a derivative of the Shanahan scheme coming in there. And all of a sudden flipping that against the AFC matchup will be interesting to see how that they kind of outside zone play action 49ers. We want to use our tight end a whole bunch and play with two backs in the backfield a lot of the time.
Kansas City was fairly, you know, they were not really strong against tight ends during the regular season, as opposed to the San Francisco defense, which of course is also facing a great tight end in Travis Kelce. And the San Francisco defense was number two in DVOA against tight ends.
Interesting. Well, that's a good time, I think, to flip it over to the other game that we saw last week. I thought that the Packers had a chance. I think the Packers thought that they really had a chance here when you heard them talk after the game about the type of season they felt like they were having. But this was not close ever. I thought that this one really came down to Green Bay's offensive line against San Francisco's defensive line was just an incredible, incredible mismatch.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, I misspoke. Kansas City was pretty good against tight ends this year. I just went and checked. So points for Tyrann Mathieu on that one. I think as far as the San Francisco Green Bay game, the first thing I want to say is there was a lot of talk on Twitter about whether the running game in this, you know, quote unquote, proved analytics wrong. And tying back to what we said about Tennessee, the first thing is you cannot depend on a running game to be this efficient in the long run over and over and over again. It's just not the way running games tend to work. But the second thing is, I don't think anybody from the analytics world ever said that you shouldn't be running the ball if you're tearing it off at 7 yards a carry. Like, I mean, right? The reason why people talk about passing being more efficient than running is because usually passing is gaining 2 or 3 yards per play more than running it. And that's not the case when it came to what San Francisco was doing to Green Bay. They just found a way with the angles to take advantage of holes in the Green Bay defense, and then they just did it over and over and over again. And when you're that efficient, there's no reason to pass the ball because your runs are, you know, you're getting runs 7, 8, 9 yards at a time. But that's not, I don't think that quote unquote proves analytics wrong. It certainly doesn't prove that other teams that are averaging 4 yards a carry should now be more dependent on the run. I think what it shows is if you can get 7 yards a carry, run at will. go ahead. And San Francisco did.
Yeah, we talked about it before. If you are coaching a football game, there's no coach in the history of football that wouldn't want to just keep running the ball down the other team's throat if you can pop it off like that every time. I don't understand why you would even think about it. You would make all of your offensive linemen very upset. So that is not a philosophy that I would say. What I will say is, third and eight with the running play, that is this sort of place where if it wasn't Kyle Shanahan and if it was
be like, what the hell was that call?
Yeah, what was that call? So it's a little bit, if Adam Gase does that, everybody, and it doesn't work, everybody be up in arms. Here Kyle Shanahan does it and it does work. So he deserves, I think, all that extra praise. But to your point, it's ridiculous to say that proves analytics wrong. Maybe to your point, though, the bigger mismatch than the San Francisco defensive line against that Packers offensive line was the coaching of Kyle Shanahan against Mike Pettine. What they were doing there. Now, the Packers all year, they've wanted to play a lot of nickel dime stuff. They've played with a lot of defensive backs on the field. And a lot of the year, they've been a little bit kind of happy to let teams run on them a little bit, and they've been more focused on stopping the passing game. We're a really good passing defense throughout the year. I think that was a good strategy a lot of the time, especially because you're going to go on the other side. They win a lot of close games, kind of playing that complementary football like that, getting it back to Aaron Rodgers. Stopping the pass is more important. I'm all for it. But Shanahan here absolutely took advantage of that. And the kind of underrated storyline that I saw on the Tomahawk podcast being talked about a little bit too, with a couple of old Cleveland Browns that were with me at the same time when Shanahan and Pettine were on the Browns staff, was how there was this kind of gamesmanship always going on, very much an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, trying to win practice all the time thing. And what they said was that Shanahan actually was trying to win the plan to make this team as the best it could be for the season. Pettine was trying to win practice every day. So Shanahan knew really well how to go after Mike Pettine, because he knew exactly how he was going to attack him going into this. So we talk about all the angles, all the genius of Kyle Shanahan. That matchup, it was as big as any.
Well, if there is an advantage for Shanahan there in knowing the defensive coordinator that he's going against, that advantage does not exist in the Super Bowl, because I don't think that he's been on a team with Spagnuolo.
One thing that might be interesting to look into is what sort of the Spagnuolo and the Spagnuolo coaching tree defenses, how those have done against the Shanahan offenses in the past. That'd be something we should get together for our Super Bowl preview next week.
I will point this out about the 49ers running game, because I ran some numbers about, the question of just how efficient and consistent can they be. I mean, they have consistently been the best running game in the league when they've had both George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk healthy. They took a big dip in the middle of the year when either Juszczyk or Kittle was injured. But since week 12, which is when Kittle came back from injury, and at that point they had both Kittle and Juszczyk, they have been the best running game in the league, and they've averaged, including last week, something like 5.7 yards a carry. And Kansas City's run defense is their weak. So, I mean, that's the story of how San Francisco wins this game, right? If they can keep tearing off runs at 6 and 7 yards a clip, I mean, you do that, you never get to third down. You just keep running the ball and running the ball down Kansas City's throat. That's the story of how San Francisco wins. I think it's going to be tough for them to continue to do it at quite that clip, especially considering that Kansas City's defense will probably load up against it. And then it becomes a question of keeping up with Mahomes.
It's kind of funny when you think about these games that we watched last weekend, in that the AFC, you had the run team against the passing Mahomes, best we've ever seen, sort of passing game there. And the passing game won out. Over in the NFC, very much the opposite case. Not to say that the Packers were as much of a passing team as the Chiefs were this year. Certainly more of a balanced team, but the Niners, with those two guys especially involved in the run game, are a really big problem. So it's kind of we saw that style win in the NFC. We saw the other style win in the AFC. It feels like stylistically it's going to be a really interesting matchup. And to your point, when you've got guys like Juszczyk and Kittle, it's a really big problem for your defense. You see all these teams running 11 personnel and trying to spread teams out. Those guys are so good in the passing game that you can use them to spread other teams out. But then if you bring in your small personnel, they're going to pummel you. So, I mean, really put a lot of conflict on your defense there. will be fascinating. And surely with 2 weeks to prepare, Spagnuolo is going to be coming with some interesting stuff. He's starting to get into his zone blitzing, and really the good old giant Spagnuolo is starting to see that from the Chiefs right now. So I'll be interested to see what sort of Super Bowl game plan he comes out with this time.
Yeah, the other thing is looking at the San Francisco defense, right? Against Green Bay, I mean, it's one guy mostly that you have to stop, which is Davante Adams. And against Minnesota, it's basically two guys. Against Kansas City, it's a lot of different guys. You got to have your eye on Kelsey and Hill and Watkins and Hardman. And it's a lot of different guys to keep track of. And that's going to be difficult.
They're so fast. They're just so fast. We were at, not here at the Senior Bowl, but at a different game. I was talking to a Chiefs scout and a scout from another team, and just joking around about how, like, what fast is for the Chiefs when they're looking for prospects is just different than what fast is for other teams. Every other team would love to have one guy like Tyreek Hill or Mecole Hardman. The Chiefs are just on a different level with the type of speed that they have on that team, and what Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes can do with that. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it next week some more, but some of San Francisco, like, relative weakness. I mean, they don't have weaknesses on defense. They have relative weaknesses. But one of their relative weaknesses is deep passes and giving up a lot of yak on deep passes, and this is exactly the kind of offense that can pick up yak on deep passes because of the speed of those receivers.
It'll be fascinating to look at those matchups and how that plays out. So we will be back next week to talk about that and break that down more. And in the meantime, we will sign off for today. Thank you to all of our listeners. Please help spread the word about Off the Charts. And you can hit us up on Twitter at sportsinfo_SIS and at FB Outsiders. Keep your eyes open. The 2020 Football Rookie Handbook, we are putting our finishing touches on it while we're down here at the Senior Bowl. I'm here with my guys, Nathan Cooper and John Todd, as well as about 20 other of the SIS video scouts that were in for this year. We're having a good time down here and putting the finishing touches on all of our scouting reports. That'll be due on the 31st, and it'll be out in February. For my co-host, Aaron Schatz, and our producer, Justin Stein, I'm Matt Manicharian. Thank you for joining us for the latest episode of the Off the Charts Football Podcast.